The FAA expands flight restrictions near AOPA's weekend fly-in. A lawsuit against an airport comes from an airline. And United furloughs planes and employees. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, June 5th, 2008. This Saturday is the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association's annual fly-in at its headquarters at Frederick Municipal Airport in Maryland. As if on cue, the FAA will expand the P-40 prohibited area north of the airport, not just for Saturday, but from 3 p.m. Friday till 1 p.m. Sunday Eastern Time. AOPA is, of course, urging incoming pilots to pre-flight carefully and monitor 121.5, and is distributing graphic depictions of P-40 on its website. Also at AOPA.org, you'll find an intercept procedures card in PDF format for those who lose their way. Emails have been sent to every AOPA member, FBO, and flight school east of the Mississippi. But wait, there's more. To avoid the embarrassment of having its members and guests intercepted by the Air Force, AOPA has offered an interesting deal to the Civil Air Patrol. Here are the terms. Position volunteers at airports in the area. Ask departing pilots if they're headed to Frederick. Warn them about the expansion of P-40 if they are. And if the fly-in comes off with no violations, AOPA will make a $5,000 donation to the Civil Air Patrol. When it expands, the prohibited area grows from 3 to 5 nautical miles in radius. Pilots flying in the ring from 5 to 10 nautical miles radius must be on an active flight plan, in positive radio contact with air traffic control, and squawking their assigned transponder codes. The airport is about 14 nautical miles from the center of P-40. Pilots who bust the restricted airspace can expect an up-close Air Force experience, an interview with the Secret Service, and more space in their wallets where their cash and pilot certificates used to be. A 2005 landing accident at Toronto's Pearson International Airport has resulted in a lawsuit. The Airbus A340 slid off the end of runway 24 left while landing during a thunderstorm. About 40 passengers were injured, 10 of them seriously, when the airliner hit a steep ravine, but amazingly no one died in the crash. None of those passengers are plaintiffs in this lawsuit. It's been filed by Air France. The Toronto Star reports the airline accuses the Greater Toronto Airports Authority of failing to provide a 300-meter overrun zone for the runway, blames NAV Canada and individual controllers for vectoring the plane to land on that slick runway, and calls Transport Canada negligent for failing to build an overrun zone after a similar accident in 1979. Air France wants $180 million. In a December 2007 report on the accident, Canada's Transportation Safety Board noted that the pilot chose to continue the approach and landing despite heavy rain and wind shear that created a strong tailwind, and government officials say the pilots failed to abort the landing despite touching down nearly midfield along the 9,000-foot runway's length. Transport Canada also observes that Air France has used the runway for years, knowing Canada does not require overrun zones, and has continued to land its planes, including its A340s, on 24 left since the date of the accident. If this is a tactic to increase revenue to pay for fuel, it is, at the very least, creative. On Wednesday, United Airlines announced it plans to slash as many as 1,100 salaried jobs as part of a plan to deal with the burden of high fuel prices. United also announced it will ground an additional 70 aircraft and discontinue its low-cost subsidiary, TED. Bloomberg notes it's the second time in as many months that United has announced cutbacks and comes just days after merger talks with U.S. Airways officially broke off. Calian Securities analyst Ray Neidl says that while these are aggressive cuts in capacity, quote, if oil stays at $130 or $120 a barrel, I expect you'll see additional big cuts, unquote. United plans to park its entire fleet of Boeing 737-300s and 500s and six of its aging 747-400 long-haul widebodies. That represents a full 15% of its current mainline fleet. Some short-haul routes served by the planes being grounded will be continued using Airbus A320s from TED. Douglas Runte at RBS Greenwich Capital in Connecticut says the A319s and A320s operated by United burn 20% less fuel than the older Boeings. Most of the cuts involved domestic routes, but some of the grounded 747s were serving more profitable international routes, yet another sign of the severity of losses caused by rising fuel costs. United Chief Operating Officer John Tagg told employees, quote, While these are difficult decisions that will impact many of our employees, they nevertheless must be made if we are to assure United's long-term viability, unquote. If Union Airline employees thought they'd eventually regain wages and benefits conceded after 9/11's disruption of the industry, the sudden run-up in fuel prices may have them either rethinking strategy or updating their resumes. Reuters reports the six network airlines have lost 75% of their market value in the past year as fuel costs have risen steeply and travel has slowed because of the economy. Some experts say the financial pressure on the companies is even worse than in the period following 9/11. Gary Chasen, a labor expert at Clark University, follows the transportation sector. He sees a parallel between U.S. airlines and U.S. manufacturing. Quote, most airline employees see the good days as over, like the auto industry, unquote. Union officials, airline industry consultants, analysts, and other industry experts agree that labor relations are deteriorating. Restructurings and bankruptcies in the last 5 years slashed the workforce at the six big U.S. airlines by a third, and thousands of workers lost their pensions. Cutbacks at United are today's major headline, but Delta recently enticed 3,000 of its non-union employees to accept buyout offers and leave their jobs voluntarily. Patricia Friend, who's the president of the union representing flight attendants at United, U.S. Airways, and Northwest, is philosophical. She says she won't accept more concessions, but admits she can't stop industry economics. Of her role in the process, she says, quote, I need to be at the table to try and protect the interests of my members, unquote. Up next on ANN, the airline's on-time performance got better in April, or at least less worse. A union writes to big shareholders to discourage a Delta-Northwest merger. And Spirit Airlines warns that big cuts in staffing may be ahead. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 5th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The rate of on-time flights by the big U.S. airlines in April was improved. The Air Travel Consumer Report, released on Wednesday by the U.S. Department of Transportation, says the rates of flight cancellations and mishandled baggage also declined. The report found that the 19 carriers reporting recorded an overall on-time arrival rate of 77.7% in April, higher than both the 75.7% recorded in April of last year and the 71.6% recorded in March of this year. Not surprisingly, American led in most canceled flights in April, with 7.6% of its entire schedule scrapped. Most of that figure represents groundings of its 300 MD-80 airliners over wiring compliance issues, which led to the cancellation of over 3,400 flights. But even that doesn't explain American Flight 1555 from Miami to San Juan, Puerto Rico. It's late 96.63% of the time. The report found a mishandled baggage rate of 4.99 reports per 1,000 passengers in April. That's a big improvement over both April 2007 at 6.34 and March of this year at 6.66. You can find more details of the report in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The union that calls itself the International Association of Machinists also represents baggage handlers, ticket and reservations agents, clerical employees, and other workers at Northwest Airlines. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports the IAM has sent letters to large shareholders of both Northwest and Delta, urging them to oppose Delta's buyout of Northwest. The union points out the combined airline would face $15 billion in long-term debt and, quote, provide minimal cost savings compared with the magnitude of the transaction, unquote. The letters also point to a drop in Delta and Northwest stock prices since the merger was announced. Union spokesman Joseph Tiberi says management needs to stay focused on running the companies and dealing with high fuel prices. Quote, the combined company will have a tremendous amount of debt and will be too busy trying to integrate two completely separate companies and two different cultures. A merger will take management's eye off the ball and investors will lose, unquote. Delta spokesman Kent Landers replied the merger will not generate any new debt and will result in an airline with, quote, one of the lowest cost structures and strongest balance sheets in the industry, unquote. Spirit Airlines says it may lay off or move up to 60% of its flight attendants and 45% of its pilots in an effort to cut costs to counter high fuel prices. The Associated Press reports that in legally required notifications to its unions, the airline, which is based in Miramar, Florida, says it plans to close hubs at New York LaGuardia and San Juan, Puerto Rico, and shrink its main Fort Lauderdale hub by August 1st. Spirit says it's also closing its Detroit hub for flight attendants. VP of Flight Operations Jeff Carlson writes, the airline may decide to furlough or displace up to 448 flight attendants and 242 pilots. That doesn't sound like a big number in the airline world, but Spirit's total pilot workforce is only about 540. Sean Creed is chairman of the Spirit Airlines Pilots Union. Quote, to say I am disappointed would be an understatement. We are devastated, unquote. Corey Caldwell, a spokeswoman for the Association of Flight Attendants, cautions that the numbers are worst-case scenarios. Quote, it's likely the ultimate number will be less, but it kind of popped out of nowhere, unquote. Spirit CEO Ben Baldanza says the letters were just precautionary steps and that an improvement in market conditions could change things. Quote, if oil prices move up, you're going to see things move faster. If oil prices move down, things are going to move slower, unquote. The company says it will watch fuel prices and profits through the hurricane season, which is typically a slow season for its Caribbean fleet, before it makes any final decision on the changes. Cessna reported Tuesday the FAA has granted type certification to Cessna's Citation XLS Plus. The XLS Plus features Rockwell Collins ProLine 21 avionics and FADEC engines from Pratt & Whitney Canada. Styling of the nose and expanded seat widths now more closely resemble Cessna's Citation 10 and Citation Sovereign models. The Citation XLS Plus at maximum takeoff weight can depart from runways as short as 3,560 feet in standard sea level conditions, travel as fast as 440 knots, and have a range of more than 1,858 nautical miles, and land on runways as short as 2,700 feet at typical landing weight. The original Citation XL was delivered in May of 1998, the first of a fleet which now totals nearly 650 planes with a total of more than 1.4 million flight hours. Cessna rolled out the first production XLS Plus in late April. The first XLS Plus delivery is expected before the end of this year. Still ahead, a two-year-old Angel Flight passenger dies in a crash in Iowa. Airport planners need to assume the big carriers could fail. And SpaceX tests bigger and bigger rockets. You're listening to Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, June 5th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. A 2-year-old girl has died of injuries suffered Tuesday morning when a Sakata TBM-700 crashed during an Angel Flight mission shortly after takeoff from Iowa City Municipal Airport in Iowa. Witnesses told the Associated Press the single-engine turboprop appeared to be flying low and slow against gusting winds, then rolled sideways and hit a ditch. The plane's pilot, Lewis Martin, was injured, and so was passenger Christina Blanton. Her 2-year-old daughter, Sydney, suffered severe injuries. On Wednesday, her grandfather, Alan Harden, confirmed the toddler later died. Sydney Blanton had undergone treatment for a club foot at University of Iowa hospitals for more than 2 years. Her most recent trip to Iowa City was to repair a ligament. Christina Blanton is said to be recovering from her injuries. Information on Martin's condition was not available. Angel Flight Central says Martin has flown 60 Angel flights in a span of 10 years. An airport design expert from MIT says new airports need to be designed to accommodate a shifting trend away from legacy airlines and toward low-cost carriers. Professor Richard de Neufville observes, quote, "Airport planners are still building airports with fancy architecture and lots of retail space, but the low-cost airlines often won't use them. And the low-cost airlines are not necessarily small anymore. They're a growing sector that represents the future. They want smaller, cheaper airports that increase efficiency," unquote. De Neufville says low-cost carriers use space more intensively. They share gate lounges, and none or few retail shops and restaurants are included. The reduced commercial activity results in fewer airport employees going through security checks and helps cut passenger turnaround time in half. De Neufville recommends flexible design, acknowledging that major airlines may go out of business. Air traffic patterns and distribution may change or move to another airport, and incoming airlines may well reject the facility vacated by a previous customer. According to De Neufville, the new JetBlue terminal at New York's JFK Airport will serve 20 million passengers per year. That's about double the traffic of the recently built international terminal, but use just half the space. The new building will cost $500 million, comparable to the cost of Delta's new terminal at Logan Airport, yet it will serve 4 times as many passengers. At Logan, JetBlue processes about 500,000 passengers per gate per year. That's about twice the number of its neighbor, Delta. Space Exploration Technologies Corp., aka SpaceX, conducted the first 5-engine firing of its Falcon 9 medium to heavy lift rocket at its Texas test facility outside McGregor on Thursday, May 29th. At full power, the engines generated almost 500,000 pounds of force and consumed 1,750 pounds of fuel and liquid oxygen per second. The 5-engine test was the most powerful yet on the company's 235-foot-tall test stand. The 5 engines are arranged in the shape of a cross or X, like the Saturn V moon rockets used in the Apollo program. This summer, SpaceX will fill in the remaining gaps in the pattern with 4 more Merlin 1C engines. The 9-engine configuration can make over 1,000,000 pounds of thrust in a vacuum. That's 4 times the thrust of a Boeing 747. Tom Mueller, who's vice president of propulsion for SpaceX, said the test last week was, quote, "the first time that we've added more than one engine at a time, and all phases of integration and testing went smoothly. As with previous tests, we saw no unexpected interactions between the engines, and are on schedule for adding 4 more engines, unquote. The first Falcon 9 will arrive at the SpaceX launch site at Cape Canaveral by the end of this year. The company's stated ultimate goal is to reduce the cost and increase the reliability of manned and unmanned space transportation by a factor of 10. And finally, I'm sure going to miss this story. NASA reports the Kaput Commode on the International Space Station is working once again, following the installation of a new pump in the liquid waste portion of the system on Wednesday. As ANN reported, the station's Russian-made toilet had been out of commission for 11 days. The problem forced astronauts to rely on plastic bags and something NASA obliquely referred to as a urine bypass, which relied on another astronaut to assist with the process. Last week, Kirk Shireman, NASA's deputy space station program manager, commented dryly, quote, "insert that into your daily life and you can see it would be quite inconvenient," unquote. But now, the languid Lou, the jinxed John, the hostile head is back to being a useful urinal, a practical privy, a working water closet. Pardon me? Oh, I could go on with the alliteration all day. I have quite a list. I was ready for this story to stay in the news for weeks. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I get to ask aerial photographer James Cavanaugh all about his profession. and how we amateurs can take better pictures of our own from the air. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.